we begin today with Dwayne Merchant. Dwayne Merchant is the Republican candidate for Marion County Prosecutor in the election that is coming up in just 12 days. I mentioned that and two more gray hairs popped out on Dwayne Merchant's head. Dwayne Merchant is an attorney, and if elected on November the 4th, he would be the first African-American prosecutor in the history of Marion County. And with that, we welcome Brother Dwayne Merchant. Mr. Merchant, how you doing?
Doing great.
So for people that aren't familiar with you or they're hearing you for the first time, why are you running? Who is Dwayne Merchant?
Well, I'll do the who is. I spent the better part of 20 years in the prosecutor's office. Mm-hmm. Did a little bit of everything from traffic court way back when I was a very young attorney. A lot of different assignments in the domestic violence unit, including some supervisor slots.
Right.
Some general felonies, a lot of drug cases. Mm-hmm. I've done a little bit of everything with adult offenders. Not much child support, not much juvenile. Now, why I'm running, I think that the prosecutor stands as one of the most important voices in our justice system. Mm-hmm. Our justice system can't be all put on the mayor, can't be put on the council. It is a select group of people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be one of those voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that right now is a critical time in our county's history. On the one hand, we're coming off two bad summers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the homicide rates have just trended up to the point where everyone's got to be concerned. We're not at all-time highs, but we seem to have leveled out. We seem to have gotten to a point where we had low homicide rates.
Right.
And suddenly we've had these last 2 years where we've had these spikes that mm-hmm. are just intolerable.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be up to the prosecutor's office to put more resources to do what we can to address those issues. We can't stop them, but now that we have them, we need to make sure that we have the mechanisms in place to really throw weight behind that. Along with that, I believe that most of these homicides are gun related.
Mm-hmm.
And gun cases in particular have always been a little disturbing to me. Something as simple as pointing a firearm.
Okay.
Because when someone points a firearm at someone else, what you're pretty much telling them is, I can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is about the most powerful statement that one person can make to another.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's turn the other side of that. When I say important times, there's a good chance that we will be building a new home for our court system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be critical to decide, are we going to open up this new building? Are we going to have the same attitudes that prevailed back in 1989 when I started out
mm-hmm.
with the same process? Are we just going to move files from one building to the other, move people from one building to the other, and just open up and that's that? I think that what we really have to do is we have to look at taking some steps to change how we view the justice system.
How would you do that? If you were elected on November the 4th, what would you be doing differently than the person that's in there now?
I can't tell you what's happening right now, but mm-hmm. I can tell you what I want to see happen.
Okay.
I want to see this new justice complex open up with resources devoted to alcohol treatment, drug treatment, mental health treatment. I think that a lot of the folks that are going to be in the system are going to need more intensive training or exposure to life skills, things that some of us may take for granted. Getting up at a regular time, understanding the need to mm-hmm. to plot your day so that you can get where you've got to be. The fact that one of the downsides of working for other people is that they're in charge. Mm-hmm. So if your boss tells you to do something,
you do it.
For the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that you have to just take every insult, but people have to understand that businesses have leaders. They have people that are trying to accomplish things, and you can't personalize necessarily the same things that you might in another environment. But I think that this new complex, if you will, is going to have to try and think of strategies to, I don't want to say put us out of business, that's too optimistic, but it would be nice if we could be one of the few government agencies that actually gets smaller over the course of time because we're doing a better job. That's got to be the goal.
We're talking with Dwayne Merchant. He is the Republican candidate for Marion County Prosecutor. 239-1310. 239-1310. That's one way to get in touch with the conversation, or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com, or you can send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Now, to activate the text message, you first send Amos to 37890. Then you get a very nice message from me, and then you can, you know, make your comments and questions all day long. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. On one of the issues that has come up as we have talked to legislators this week is part of our interviews is this effort to, in the legislature next year, to increase the penalties. We already have enhanced penalties. If you rob and there's a gun, there's already an enhanced penalty. There's an effort by some to add more penalties, time in jail, for using a gun to commit crimes. What's your position? Is that something we need to do next year?
We need to take a look at that. And I think that in some instances, that's probably going to be very important, and we need to get behind that. But there are so many different gun offenses. Mm-hmm. You've got everything from murder, attempt murder, down to, like I just mentioned, possession of a firearm. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I said pointing a firearm, pardon me. But pointing a firearm is one level, and you've got simple possession of a firearm. Mm-hmm. I never liked the offense of pointing a firearm because, again, it just resonates badly with me that someone is holding you at gunpoint. Mm-hmm. Because that is just a statement in and of itself. There's no words that have to flow back and forth. Mm-hmm. They're telling you something right when they're pointing that at you. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I don't support running around town without a license, carrying mm-hmm. guns. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily see that as the same, though, as pointing a firearm. Right. There's a whole lot of things that go into that mix. For example, one of my problems is young people and firearms. Mm-hmm. It's not 40-year-old people at work, right. An 8-hour job that may have a firearm without a license. It's, I hate to say it, kids, really. These older juveniles and young adults that, you know, scientists will tell you that they're still developing their personality and perhaps don't have those restraints that are.
Somebody called earlier this week and said, do we need to focus more attention on trying to find out who is selling these illegal guns, find out who they are, and lock them up under the new courthouse or jail or whatever they're trying to build?
I think that would be a very good exercise of our time. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little difficult for the Marion County Prosecutor to dig into that,
right,
because that, to me, really strikes into the whole area of the federal government, mm-hmm. because there's so many federal firearms issues and how they get into Marion County in particular. I mean, we don't make firearms in right. Indiana for the most part. There might be some small custom-made, mm-hmm. but we're not making Smith & Wesson, Beretta.
There's no gun called Hoosier.
Not that I know of. I hope not. I've never seen one in court, never prosecuted one. Mm-hmm. Point being, though, is that's the type of issue that we would have to sit down, probably with the U.S. Attorney's Office, right. and get a lot of coordination with them. And as prosecutor, I have no problem trying to coordinate effort, but my primary focus is going to have to be what can I control, what can I do. What can I dig into?
One of the things that comes up in any kind of discussion about the criminal justice system and talking with the people in charge of the areas of the justice system is how that system communicates to people, how they communicate to the victims of crime, how they communicate to the families of defendants of the crime. And one of the concerns over the years over several different types of prosecutors, have been how those deputy prosecutors communicate with the families of victims and just as important, building those levels of trust so that witnesses, can feel comfortable. And safe about going into court, putting their hand on the Bible and saying they're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Your opponent was here yesterday, and he said one of the frustrations that he has is in a number of cases, particularly in either homicide or, more importantly, the shootings where the person lives. The victim of the shooting doesn't want to press charges. You know, what can a prosecutor do to help a community change that culture of, you know, if you're shot by somebody, you know, why wouldn't you want to go into court and have the person that shot you locked up?
I think we're just going to have to dig down deeper. What I have been doing as part of my campaign is I've been trying to get out in some of the communities, especially Martindale, Brightwood, Hawville, some. We're going to probably have to try and work with organizations, faith-based organizations in particular, that are present there. And between working with them, getting police involvement, making sure that the community starts to feel it has a firm bridge with law enforcement just as a get-go. Because the prosecutor's office really, a lot of what we do is respond to what IMPD or the other agencies bring us. But what I'd like to see happen is see if I can serve as a bridge to make sure that there's a much greater degree of comfort between the folks that are demanding the service and the folks that are providing it, and to make sure that my people are doing the same. One thing I've kind of noticed out there, having been out, I would say in Martindale, Brightwood in particular, is that I get a real sense that people really desperately want to see a change. And it's not just this intellectual exercise. They really fundamentally want to see a difference. And I think that with the right policies and the right people extending themselves, there's going to be a certain degree of reception. I think a lot more than people are really understand. I think that things have gotten to the point where everyone is acknowledging that we're going to have to work a lot harder and work in unison.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoon's News. We're talking with Dwayne Merchant. He is the Republican candidate for Marion County Prosecutor. What motivated you to enter this race?
I was actually approached about running, and it just struck me as this is such a crucial time in our in the history of Central Indiana. With the changes in the law, with the possibility of our new home, with the upsurge in violence, as time has gone on, I've gained more of a sense, I think, that it's not just me feeling that things really need to change. But it just seems a confluence of factors are all pointing to this being the time to engage in serious debate and to be looking at what we can do now to change the way things have just routinely been done for the last, certainly my experience, it's closer to 30 years, but I would argue probably for the last 60, 70 years.
239-1310, 239-1310 with Dwayne Merchant. As you have gone around and talked to voters in this campaign and discovered how big Marion County really is, what have people brought to you that surprised you, that didn't that you didn't expect to hear?
It gets back to the whole broken window argument, but some of the comments that really struck a chord with me were there's a problem with drag racing, of all things, about 30th and Rural.
Now, still.
Yeah.
After all these years.
Yeah. But, and you think of that, you know, going up and down Rural, that's a residential street. But it's just amazing that, because, I mean, you go out to the suburbs, Castleton. Not going to see that. You'll see two motorcycles go at each other and, and some guy in a car, but it's not a regular occurring thing, and it's certainly not happening in a residential neighborhood.
We're Dwayne Merchant, the Republican candidate for Marion County Prosecutor. Over the years, in talking to the elected prosecutor or to prosecutor candidates, we have gone up and down in this community talking about gangs. There's sometimes where we, oh, there are no gangs here. And then there's other times, oh my goodness, we got, there's a gang on every corner. There's as many gangs as there are drugstores. From your perspective, as you have gone through this campaign, you've talked to people, is there a gang problem here in Indianapolis and Marion County? And if so, what kinds of things would you be doing as the elected prosecutor to deal with that?
We do have gangs in Indianapolis, Marion County. There's you can't really argue that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as deeply embedded as other large cities. Mm-hmm. So that's the good news from my perspective. But what strikes me is that gangs flourish in an environment where there's a vacuum. Mm-hmm. When you've got young men in particular that don't feel they're getting recognized by mm-hmm. the greater society, right. and they don't have positive role models. I'm talking about people that work every day, right. that will talk to them and reach out to them, that will just show them all these basic life skills and invest in them. Mm-hmm. That creates a hole. And in my experience, as a 14-year-old, you get 14-year-old boys that don't have anything constructive to do, right. 14 to 20, we got nothing constructive to do. We're by ourselves. We're usually not going to decide to, well, we're just going to have a study group. Mm-hmm. We're going to work on our math. No. Yeah. You start doing things. And usually something small and stupid. And then someone has to feel that they have to take that step further. Mm-hmm. That mentality has been evident all my life. Even back to my father's day, back in the 1950s when he was mm-hmm. a young man. Mm-hmm. I think that to combat that, we're going to have to figure ways to engage with young people mm-hmm. and to pull them in activities that are more positive. Mm-hmm. Things to do with scholastics, athletics, cultural. Mm-hmm. Give them something to occupy their time that's constructive.
239-1310. We're with Dwayne Merchant. He is the Republican candidate for Marion County Prosecutor. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more. Yeah, I got to ask about child support. We'll also ask about, you know, how critical are reentry efforts to cutting down the job of a prosecutor, because prosecutors don't want to keep trying the same people over and over again. Anyway, in our second hour, the Republican candidate for Marion County, Sheriff Emmett Carney, will be here. It's Afternoons with Amos on a Thursday.
This is Reverend Jester Jackson, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light. In the source of inspiration and praise.
We're talking with Dwayne Merchant, Republican candidate for Marion County Prosecutor, 239-1310, 239-1310. So, I know you haven't, when you were in the prosecutor's office, you didn't do a lot with child support, but that's a big element of it. As you've gone out, I'm sure you've heard from responsible moms and responsible dads, because the deadbeat dads and the irresponsible moms, nobody ever talks to. what'd you learn from them that would help you if you're elected on November the 4th?
I'm not sure I learned anything new other than perhaps just trying to figure a way to have more in-depth communication. Mm-hmm. The huge problem with child support is the numbers are so big that it's really difficult to sit down with any custodial parent and really dig into their concerns. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have these kettle call court sessions mm-hmm. where you've got 30, 40 cases, mm-hmm. and that's probably a light day. And as you can imagine, there's always a certain amount of stress. Mm-hmm. A lot of the non-supporting party, if you will. I don't want to put it all on dad. Right. But they're not in the happiest of our mind, right. typically, mm-hmm. because they feel they're being dragged in to the court. Right. And the person with the child is always unhappy because, you know, golly, darn, you have a child, you should be paying, mm-hmm. paying your share. Right. It's not the woman's responsibility. It's not the man's responsibility. It's your responsibility.
Your responsibility. Mm-hmm.
So the effort's going to have to be made somehow to figure a way to, if not full-fledged mediation, at least figure a way to bleed off some of that excess energy and emotion and see if...
Is some of it that when you get to court, just because it's in court, drives some of the tension? and anger than if you were sitting in a smaller room and the two parties are around the table and then there's a mediator. The setting is different.
Well, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. And you've got to keep in mind that when people typically think about going to court, being forced to go into court, that brings up ideas of the criminal justice system itself. Mm-hmm. So you're already blending the two, and if anyone's already got experience with the criminal justice system, they're probably already going to be looking a little harshly on that process.
Right.
So there's going to be some bleed over right then and there.
Right.
But if we can figure ways to try and get people to talk, and I mean, really dig into these issues that, you know, your kid needs you. They need the money on the one hand, but you have to be a force in their life. I mean, we were talking about gangs a minute ago, and that is, again, the component where the gangs come in. It's in the vacuum. I don't have any statistics. I can't quote research, but it just strikes me as, from what I've seen, gangs don't flourish in environments where you've got strong families with really solid parental involvement, with children that feel that they're being guided and directed and steered into positive activities. Their heads are someplace else.
239-1310, 239-1310. Send me an email at praiseindia.com. Dwayne Merchant, the Indianapolis Star, the other Sunday did a big story accusing your opponent, the elected prosecutor, of just, you know, dropping gun charges against people and letting people out on the street. Your take on that story?
At the very least, what needs to happen is there needs to be an audit, if you will. They need to do the best they can in terms of using computer support and figure out what gun cases have been charged. And then we need to take a hard look at why they don't get resolved. Sometimes it can be a situation where you need a critical witness. And they simply don't go to court. The only thing the prosecutor can do, perhaps, is reach out to the witnesses earlier, try and be more involved, stay on top of them. But you can't literally go out yourself, pick them up, buy them a cup of coffee, take them to court. So there's going to be some cases that you just can't bring to bed. There's also some situations where the judge may well intervene and say, look, you've got a crucial evidentiary problem here. I'm not letting this gun come into evidence or testimony about it. That's a matter of training. Learn your lessons from those. But we need to take an audit to make sure that those are the type of cases that are being dismissed. I never like dismissing gun charges. For example, let's say you have a guy with a gun in the car, and he was charged with felony drunk driving because it was his second or third. That was not uncommon when I was deputy prosecutor. I wasn't one to dismiss the gun charge to get the felony so much. It's because I don't like people that drink to the level of having felonies with guns in their car. That's not a good mix.
Is it also something where a prosecutor, you know, you have four or five charges on somebody, including a gun charge, and the person agrees or their counsel agrees, okay, it's like Law and Order. We'll plead to one, two, and three, and the deputy prosecutor says, hey, you know, three out of five charges isn't bad. This person will be going to jail for X. And then the gun charge is dismissed. And if somebody does a computer run, then they look and say, aha, the gun charge was dismissed. And maybe not looking that, but the defendant is locked up for the next 10 years.
Well, but there's also other penalties that go with the gun conviction.
Right.
If you're charged with handgun without a license, you get convicted, then there's still enhancements if we catch you again. And not everyone that's convicted of having a handgun is going to rearm. But that's something that, as a deputy prosecutor, I was concerned with. They've shown me that this is the type of person that goes around armed. We need to be looking at the fact that this could well be an individual who we're going to be seeing again, and what have we done?
One of the other things, and this has come up on this program in the last couple of weeks because of an incident that occurred out at John Marshall High School where a student was caught with a loaded gun, along with a machete or a knife, a hatchet, and a bottle of vodka, a small bottle of vodka. The prosecutor, either because the person was 18 or about to be 18, or the prosecutor felt the egregiousness of what was caught, they're charging this individual as an adult. The school's principal just unilaterally decided not to tell parents about the incident. IPS, which had a policy under the previous superintendent of giving a notice anytime someone was arrested on school property with a deadly weapon, now does not do that anymore for the fear of, well, if we just do it and the other schools don't do it, then everybody will think IPS is dangerous. On these kinds of things, if somebody is arrested at a school carrying a dangerous weapon, should the public be notified, not the details, but just the public be notified about that, whether it is a public school, an IPS school, a township school, a charter school, or a private school? In this old age of school safety, do the citizens now have a right to know if their schools are safe?
Short answer, I say yes. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to it, anything that impacts the safety of your child,
right,
as he's walking or she's walking into that building, I think that's legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly weapons is something that any reasonable parent is going to be concerned with. I mean, I've got a 20-year-old, he's no longer in school, but
right,
I can guarantee you that his mother in particular would have been quite interested knowing about kids walking around the hallways with access to machetes, heaven mm-hmm. forbid, you know, firearms,
right,
loaded
right,
or unloaded.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you don't have that policy, then you run the risk of creating more of a kind of a rupture
right,
with the community.
Right.
I think that in many instances, you're better off with transparency. Pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't throw out every fact that everyone's going to find to be relevant, but big issues like that, I think you just have to have the public perceive you as being forthcoming.
On juvenile, I know in your practice, when you work with the prosecutor's office, you were more on the adult side and not
correct,
the juvenile side. And having interviewed the juvenile judge Marilyn Moore's, you know, her thing is, and I think the juvenile center's thing is, we want to deal with those juveniles that are committing serious crimes. If you throw an eraser at a teacher in a school, that's something the school ought to deal with, not clog up the juvenile justice system. A, Dwayne Merchant, do you kind of agree with where the judge is coming from? That yes, and yeah, we want to deal with the more serious things. Schools learn how to take care of the less than serious things. The other thing is the issue of truancy. And we don't have enough police on the street. We don't have enough school police in the schools to police truancy. And I'm sure as you've gone around driving around the county in this campaign, you've looked at school time and saying, those are some school looking kids. Why are they out there walking on the street? Is this another area that we need to look and do things differently and try to figure out that the whole issue of truancy or the whole issue of schools just suspending kids to suspend them, not realizing, okay, if you suspend the kid, you potentially are putting somebody out there that could go and commit a crime. And then they end up in front of prosecutor Dwayne Merchant.
I don't have the statistics right in hand, but it strikes me that Indiana has a fairly high national rate for suspension, especially suspensions of children of color. But even just white kids,
yeah,
we
right,
suspend a lot of kids in Save Indiana for some reason. And the problem is, it kind of, I think, goes back to one of my earlier comments. You take a kid who's been suspended. Many families are, even if they're two parents, both parents are working. So suddenly got this kid who was in a controlled environment, if you will, is mm-hmm, just off by himself.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not going to do anything constructive. And anyone they're going to be hanging out with is going to be older. That why they hang out with a younger kid
mm-hmm,
or someone else who's been suspended.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not creating a particularly good environment. We need to keep kids in school as much as we reasonably can. Now, again, getting back to machetes and guns.
Yeah, that's another.
At that juncture, then, okay, suspension is the yeah, least of our concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But kids that are boisterous, I mean, you know, one school a kid is boisterous, another kid does the same thing, and he's riotous. I mean,
mm-hmm,
we've got to do what we can to create environments in our schools where they will keep these kids engaged, keep them involved. And we've got to be very mindful of the fact that no school very often for our younger men and women, if you will, it leads to juvenile court, to criminal court, to prison.
Let me go to the phones in Anonymous with Dwayne Merchant, the Republican candidate for Marion County Prosecutor. Hi there.
Hey, hello, how are you?
We're fine.
Good. Got a question. Mr. Carney.
No, this isn't Mr. Carney. This is Mr. Merchant.
You're early.
this is Mr. Merchant. Hey, well, my question is going to be for him anyway. I want to know, what is his highest ranking position that he's held in the department?
Okay, not the department. It was with the Marion County the Marion County Prosecutor's Office. But in any event, I would probably say the highest thing I did was what's called the Assistant Supervisor of the Municipal Division. The Municipal Division consists of the Traffic Court, Misdemeanor Court, and about 4-5 lower-level felony courts. I say lower-level because when I was there, some of the penalties that could be doled out could be up to 20 years in prison. But in any event, there are approximately 30-some attorneys that would staff that municipal division. You've got all the support staff, you know, the paralegals, the secretaries, what have you. And as assistant supervisor, my responsibility was largely to show up and help with whatever needed to be done. That meant going to court on a regular basis and just checking on people. It meant staying in my office and being able to discuss what our policies are. We may have a policy on something, but sometimes the policies need to be changed on the fly.
Right. Now, how does that, what you have already gained in experience, how does that match up to what you're proposing now?
Well, it is experience supervising individuals in the prosecutor's office. Now, not the entire office, clearly, and I don't want to seem like I'm overstating myself. It's one thing to supervise 30 attorneys within that environment and everyone that works with them. And this is a bigger journey, if you will, because you'll be responsible for all of the adult, the entire adult division, the entire juvenile division, the entire child support. But getting back to the point, it is experience supervising in that office and dealing with people. And if you've got experience dealing with people, supervising, there's some commonality. You need to be able to read people. You need to be able to delegate. You want to find strong people beneath you who can bear some of the load.
Okay, and one last question. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like the weight of respect from people versus, or there's a borderline with delegating authority to people? Because I guess the win-win would be, ultimately, how are you going to get, you know, things implemented? Is it going to be more so the delegation aspect of what your title is, or would it be more of a respect factor built based upon what the platform is? And that'll be my last question.
Great question.
I think it's a situation where you're going to have to play to strengths and try and get assistance in areas that you may not be as strong at. I don't claim to be a nationally recognized expert in domestic violence, but I think I've got a fair grasp of a lot of issues dealing with domestic violence. I was doing domestic violence cases in 1989 in night court. We had night court way back then. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, I seemed like every 3, 4, 5 years, one way or another, I was doing something, even if it was kind of on a part-time basis. I had a pretty good indoctrination, cup of coffee, whatever you want to call it, with drug cases. So I feel quite comfortable in those environments.
239-1310. Back to the phones. And Lewis, hi there.
How you doing?
Fine.
I got a question here. I went to see my doctor, Deborah Miller, and I didn't actually see her. I saw a nurse practitioner. Tests on me. But I was thinking they were just running tests for my diabetes. And,
hold it a minute, Lewis. What does this have to do with the gentleman running for Marion County Prosecutor?
Oh, I didn't know that's what you was talking about.
Wait a minute, you're calling me and you're not listening to to the radio?
No, I'm in Chicago.
You're in Chicago? You're not listening to me on praiseindy.com?
No, I'm in Chicago.
Well, that doesn't help my guest here. He's running for prosecutor. You're not even here to vote for him early.
I'm sorry.
Let me move on to somebody that can ask a question. I'll get you another time. Let me go to Keith at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I know you heard from me yesterday. I'm your weekly listener.
All right, weekly listener. Come on with it.
Okay. I like that the candidate is open to delegate. I like the fact that, you know, he's willing to listen to the people and try to compromise to make things work and excel at his job better than Mr. Curry. My question is this. What are your plans? Is there anything that you effectively want to change that's right now that's going on in the prosecutor's office, and how can we hold you to that?
There's a couple small – well, one is not so small. The first thing I'd like to do is reform a homicide unit within the prosecutor's office. At one point, all the murder cases went to pretty much your senior deputy prosecutors, the men and women that have been doing it the longest with the most experience. They were getting murder cases and nothing but murder cases. Now, it's difficult for those men and women because those are emotional cases. But we need to have that spotlight put on cases involving death. I mean, we've also got an older police force that is retiring out. We don't talk about that. But as they retire off, you get younger officers on the street. You get younger detectives. It's even more important to have experienced prosecutors involved early. Deputy prosecutors, pardon me, involved early in every phase of death cases. Now, here's something else that's a little wild and may not strike to a lot of people, but we also have a unit, though, right now that does nothing but all of the drunk driving cases. And that's not very exciting, but some of the best trial experience for young attorneys is drunk driving cases.
Why?
You wouldn't think it, but first off, as long as those cases go to trial, mm-hmm. A lot of young attorneys don't get trial experience unless you're in domestic violence court, and those get tried every day, day out. But the drunk driving cases go to trial because there's license issues, there's insurance issues,
there's evidence.
But there are things that a lot of people don't really look forward to. You don't look forward to your license possibly being suspended. You don't look at your insurance mm-hmm. getting jacked up. There are scientific defenses that aren't available and like he slugged me in the jaw. No, he didn't slug me in the jaw. You get in people and start talking about, was the breath test good? Was it bad? What that does is it forces young attorneys, if you give them these cases, mm-hmm. they up their game. Mm-hmm. There was a situation years ago when I was dealing with blood evidence on a case. So I pulled the chemist in, talked to her for about half an hour right before the trial, and went through her questions. He said, okay, you must be in sex crimes because you've done blood evidence. No, I haven't. What do you mean? Well, you're an expert witness. I learned doing drunk driving cases, expert witnesses, you have the same set of questions. Their expertise comes and goes. You got to know how far you can push things. But essentially, if you learn how to do a drunk driving case of all things, that equips you to go into so many other areas and talk to experts, know the type of questions you're going to ask, mm-hmm. and you understand the process that much better. So it's a training tool that we need to rediscover, if you will.
Keith. Okay, if I could ask you one more question, please.
Real quick.
Okay, real quick. Can you create, or have you devised a plan to create a better program with the child support for the fathers? I know the Father and Family Program is a program that should help young men to find jobs so they could pay their child support. And that program is not very successful. I know what your reports might have been on, but, you know, it's not successful. And a lot of those young men come out of the program without a job. All they do is sponsorship child support with their job logs or whatever you found that. Can you, or perhaps would you look into that and perhaps make another program that can, you know, get some guys into some type of work or a CHIP program to help them pay their obligations?
Great question.
I had a little experience with that program in the prosecutor's office, and I think you're right, it had at best mixed results. It didn't really seem to be accomplishing a lot of the issues it was designed to. What I've been trying to do is reaching out to some of the folks I know. I want to say Baltimore actually has a program in their child support where they go much deeper. And a huge part of that process, though, is trying to make sure that these dads in particular are really bonding with these children, because I think a huge issue is when these fathers are involved and they're actually being parents, then you don't have near the level of resistance. They see that they're needed, that right. they're a crucial part of that child's life and development. They're more motivated. It's easier to talk to them about getting job, getting training. Right. I think that's a huge step in improving the entire process, and I'm still trying to wade through that. But I think that's an approach that perhaps we really need to look at here in Marion County, getting the dads feeling that they're more involved just with the child.
239-1310. 239-1310 is After News. The name is we're with Dwayne Merchant, the Republican candidate for Marion County prosecutor. If elected, he would be the first African-American ever elected by either party to the position of Marion County prosecutor. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our many moments with Dwayne Merchant in our second hour. Emmett Carney, the Republican candidate for Marion County sheriff, after these.
Hello, this is King Ro Conley, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
With Dwayne Merchant, the Republican candidate for Marion County prosecutor, got a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. How long has the candidate been a Marion County Republican, and what's his view of their relationship with the black community?
I would say Republican, quote-unquote, for about 4 years. I've always, well, not always. I think I voted straight Democrat in 1980 for Carter. But in all those years, I've always tried to be more concerned about focusing on educating myself as best I can and trying to support people that seem to me willing to work together, people of character, and people that will ultimately try and get stuff done.
How would reentry work under a prosecutor, Dwayne Merchant?
I'm going to put that a little bit on Sheriff Candidate Carney, because I know he's very passionate about that. Right. And I've seen him out and listened to some of his discussions. But we clearly need to be supportive of reentry as a concept. We need to be willing to engage with the courts. We need to see what, if anything, we can do. And I say what, if anything, because reentry very often really comes into being after they've been convicted, after they've gone off in many instances to prison, now they're back in the community, the reentering community. So the prosecutor is really involved in getting the case prepared, bringing it to trial. But once there's been a sentence imposed, you lose a lot of involvement. It doesn't really become something that you can really affect quite as much. But, you know, we'll certainly keep my ear open.
Back to the phones and anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, sir. Amos, how are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Okay, I got a situation. Back in January, I've been a father that's been current with child support payments. Back in January, where up to for 14 years, they just take it off my checking account. Back in January, they stopped their procedure. So now I have to take it down to the city county building to every month. That's how I pay every month. And which is okay, but part two of of my question is that.
Well, wait a minute. Let me stop. What reason did they give to stop the direct taking out of your checking account?
Some type of budget that they don't have anymore. They just stopped it. I think that's with all the fathers now.
Wait. Was that the county clerk's office, or was that the process? Sounds like that's the county clerk's office.
It might be the clerk's office. I don't have that direct information with me, but as of January 1st, I got a letter back last December, November of last year, stating that beginning of the 1st of January that no longer would that our support payments would come out of our direct deposit. I mean, not direct, our savings account.
It was a savings account or a checking account?
My checking account.
And you were with a major bank?
Yes, I'm with a major bank, but they're no longer taking it. So since January, I have to go downtown every month, every month, and pay and pay my child support, right?
When you pay, do you, hold on a second. When you pay, do you pay at the clerk's office or do you pay at the prosecutor's office?
I think it was across the hall from Beth White's office.
You pay at the clerk's office?
Probably so.
You need to ask the next time when you go pay in November, you need to ask them what other arrangements do they have for direct deposit, because I find it very hard to believe with everybody else in the country going to direct deposit of stuff.
Why? Well, they got something like a light company, water company, like a Bill Matrix type deal. You can go in there and pay it, and they'll charge you a fee for that.
Uh-huh.
And, which is, you know, like I said, I've never been behind anything. It just makes it convenient because when I went down to the city county building, I put money in the parking meter, right?
Right.
I come back out, I got a ticket on my parking meter on my car, and, it's stating that I'm in violation. But I'm looking at the meter and I still got an hour and a half to go on my meter. I take a picture and I call the number, the 1-800 number
mm-hmm.
that's on the ticket. And the lady said that the parking space that I was in hadn't been used for 2 days. I said no, because when I got here, it was a car pulling out, and I'm the second car in, and we got over, and I told her I got over an hour and a half left on the meter.
Right.
The thing is a $20 fine, ticket. Now, if I want to contest it, I said, well, how do I contest it? She said, well, you go back into the city county building, you go in the hallway there, and they got some paper there. You sign the paper. You take the paper. You fill it out, and you send it in.
Here's the problem. I get the whole thing. Here's the problem. The problem is the Marion County prosecutor and the Marion County court system have nothing to do with collecting the fines for the parking meters. That's actually under, I think, the city prosecutor, which is under the mayor.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying is they want me to, now they want for a $20 ticket.
Yeah.
They want me to come to court, take off work for a $20 ticket. I went on to pay the ticket, but I just think of like,
let me put it this way. We have been trying for 3 years to get the people from the parking meter on this program. And to be blunt about it, they are refusing, to come on the program.
To me, it's a scam. I mean, you know, you got people from out of town.
I get that, but the problem is we're talking to a guy running for prosecutor, and that office has nothing to do with the parking meters, unfortunately.
Well, okay, I'm glad you listened to my call, and when you had that topic, I'll call back in again.
Thank you. Trust me, I want the parking meter people on here. I want y'all to have at the parking meter people. That's a show where all I got to do is say hello. The parking meter people are here, and then I'll be able to go outside and have lunch. Drew and the callers will take care of everything. Let me go quickly to Michael at 239-1310. Hi, Michael.
Oh.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine. You're on the air.
I'm very glad that we have the first black person running for prosecutor, but I have a question about why, you know, it's a common thing where most Democrats will vote for Democrat people running and not usually vote Republican. What do you think you would offer as a Republican that your Democratic counterpart wouldn't have?
I think in some ways I've got some advantages. I will be the prosecutor in the capital of Indiana. Like it or not, the state is run by a Republican legislature.
Okay.
So we're on the same side of the aisle. I think that in terms of getting things done, if we do want to change laws, if we do want to take novel approaches, I'm going to be feel comfortable talking to a Republican legislature and saying, hey, look, you've rewritten the law because what you want to do was you wanted to lower prison population. We're spending maybe $1.7 million a day storing people like boxes. That's all we do in prison for the most part. So we're spending this $1.7 million maybe every day. Well, if we change the laws and less people are going to prison, they're going to be staying in the community. Well, as the Marion County prosecutor, I'm going to feel very comfortable going over to the legislature and saying, look, okay, you're saving money, that's good and fine, but you can't bank this entire amount of money. We need it here in our community. And I would be very happy to talk to the prosecutors and the prosecutor in Fort Wayne, Evansville, Richmond, the larger metropolitan area, and say, look, you may be saving money on prisons. Some of that's going to have to be reinvested in our communities. Drug treatment, alcohol treatment, mental health treatment, court systems that can really aggressively monitor people. I mean, we're at the point now where we can almost have a probation department that can see that you're supposed to be at work at 8:30. They could send you a text at 8 o'clock or 7:45. This is just a polite reminder. We expect you at work. Mm-hmm. There's things that I would have no problem going over the State House and advocating for. And I'd like to think that maybe I'll get a little better reception because I will be the Republican prosecutor in the state capitol where they meet.
All right, two more calls for Dwayne Merchant. Let me go quickly to Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Amos. I know you said you're talking to the prosecutor. And so my question is about the parking. And I want you to get the parking on there.
All right.
I got the same problem.
You got the same problem?
Yes, all right, sir.
All right, that's three people. That's two callers today, one caller tomorrow. The people want after the election the parking meter people here come heck or high water. We'll work on that. George, you're the last caller with Dwayne Merchant, the Republican candidate for Barron County Prosecutor. Of course, if he sat here and promised to get rid of the parking meters, there would be a landslide for his election. But anyway,
he's thinking about it.
Hi, George.
I didn't say that. I'm sorry.
He didn't say that. Hi, George. George?
Sir.
Okay. Yeah, I was calling to ask the prosecutor about how he thinks the law they passed in Indiana, the right to resist law, will affect prosecutions of cases that, involve officers being shot at by citizens, and how it just seems like it sets up a case where you could get a hung jury and the whole right to resist laws and the stand your ground laws just make it sort of like vigilante justice out there in Indiana and must make it tough for a prosecutor to figure out, how to prosecute a case and not have it wound up with a hung jury every time and, or just not be able to prosecute a case because of these laws they felt the need to pass in Indiana and,
I guess
to me it just looks like vigilante justice they want out there the state legislature.
And Dwayne Merchant, that was a Republican majority legislature that passed that. Your thoughts on that?
What I would end up doing is simply try and take an aggressive look at the facts. I think that we do have a functioning civil court system. We've had it for quite some time here in the state of Indiana. And I'm not saying that, money can make everyone whole. But when we're talking about people's lives, we have to be very concerned as official policy with looking at cases where people have been severely injured or killed. And in that context, we'll have to take a look at the Indiana law, and I'm certainly not going to violate Indiana law, but I'm probably going to be the type of guy that's going to lean toward if you shoot someone, a cop, because you're, quote, standing your ground or however you want to term it, well, you better be awfully certain that 6 people, 12 people, that you can sell this, because I don't think there's no tie. When you kill someone or critically injure them, they are that way for the rest of their life. Unlike what you see on TV, people with gunshot wounds don't just magically heal up and get suddenly better. If that is your choice, then we will review that instance. We'll take a look at the law. But just understand, if you feel that you have to use that level of force, it's going to be reviewed, and I don't think you can simply go to bed at night thinking to yourself, well, I can shoot anyone coming to my house. Well, no, that's not going to be part of this administration.
Dwayne Merchant, one question before our standard closing question. This is... In the years that I've been here in Indianapolis, usually the prosecutor's race has gotten a lot of publicity from the mainstream media. Are you surprised at the lack of publicity from the major newspaper and the television stations in this race?
A little bit, but it does seem that there's been more heat generated on, for example, the sheriff's race, mm-hmm. and that happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. This just strikes me as being a very interesting electoral, I think that's the word.
Electoral election.
Okay. Election cycle,
yeah.
In and of itself. I like I said, I've only been involved in politics to any great detail for 4 years, but this is unlike certainly the last 4 years. We don't have the Obama factor. We don't have really hot Senate races, you know, the whole Donnelly and
Murdoch. Yeah.
So it's just kind of a bit of an oddity.
Dwayne Merchant, our standard closing question with all of our candidates. If people want more information about your campaign, you're the Republican candidate for Marion County Prosecutor. If elected, you would be the first African-American prosecutor of any party in the Capital County here in Indiana, Marion County. How do people get a hold of you?
At this point, it's getting a little bit late. Send me an email, and I'll either try and respond with some of my info, or if it's a question and it's not too detailed, then shoot me the question and I'll see what I can do.
All right. And the email is?
The number 4 Dwayne, D-U-A-N-E .merchant@gmail.com. 4 Dwayne Merchant, 4 Dwayne .merchant@gmail.com.
Dwayne Merchant, the Republican candidate for Marion County Prosecutor. Good luck to you. It's been an honor and privilege.
Thank you, Amos. Appreciate it.
The sheriff's candidate on the Republican Party, Emmett Carney, is in the house. We'll talk with him next. This afternoon's with Amos after these.